Okay. This is Alyssa. I think we should get going. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. As we did last time, Alice will be compiling the list of attendees. She has started already in the notes panel of the Adobe Connect meeting room for those who are in the meeting room, and we will confirm it on the mailing list afterward, both those who were in attendance and those who are not. But if there are people who are not in the Adobe Connect meeting room but who are on the audio bridge, if you could say your names right now, please.
Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
Ergus.
Thank you, Ergus. Is there anyone else who's not in the Adobe Connect meeting room, but who is on the audio bridge? Okay, great. Thank you all for joining the meeting room. I think, unfortunately, that means that Paul Wilson was not able to join from the airplane, which he was hoping to do. But that's okay, because he sent us an updated document ahead of time. So the agenda for today is to try to finalize the community's request for proposals. You should all have it on the screen in front of you. I think the Adobe Meeting Room is working now such that anybody can, you can scroll up and down in the document independently. We don't all have to be looking at the same view all the time. So we'll start like that and see how that works. I think the other thing we might try today is to not run the speaker queue. We might just have a free-form discussion and see how that goes. And if people feel that that's not working or they're not having a chance to speak, please type into the chat room. But it seems like for this one, we might be able to get away without managing the speaker queue and just having a conversation. So if you have something to say, feel free to speak up. And if you collide with someone else, then I'm sure we will manage it in the normal manner of human beings. That is all that I had. I think we have the document in front of us. Paul sent the most up-to-date version. And I think we have a couple of issues from the mailing list. I know there was one that I wanted to highlight related to a comment that Elise made about the IANA and service relationships. But we should start with comments from folks on the call, any items that they want to talk about today. So the floor is open. Please say your name before you speak. Thank you.
Jean-Jacques has raised his hand.
Yes, Jean-Jacques, go ahead. You can speak freely. You don't need to raise your hand.
Right. Thank you, Alice. This is Alicia. Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. To point out something which poses a problem for the at-large representatives, and that is throughout the text there is too strong a distinction between the operational communities or entities on the one hand and the rest on the other. In fact, there is even a contradiction between the title of the paper, which is called IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group Request for Proposals. And in the title, there is the word proposals. And then right in the first sentence of the introduction, it says operational communities and under small 1A, and then under small 1B, soliciting the input. So on the one hand, the proposals, and to the input, and that contradiction is reproduced elsewhere further down in the text. So my point is this. Well, what was the whole purpose of bringing together a coordination group if it is right away to establish a differentiation, and that's a soft word, right from the start? I know that, of course, there are operational responsibilities which are different from those of the user community, that I accept, but that for the input, right from the start, such a strong distinction be made seems quite curious to me, and in fact quite unacceptable. The proposals which will be made by the whole of the ICG should be a compound of the proposals of the operational communities and of the other affected communities. That is for us to decide internally what is valid, but the validity of a proposal does not depend on its point of origin. It's simply on its validity. In other words, on its being able to stand the criticism of the whole community. So I'd like some clarification on that, please.
Alyssa, maybe I could provide a another
please,
user.
Please say your name.
Sorry, it's Joseph Aladef. Jean-Jacques, I think maybe what you're highlighting is perhaps an insufficient definition of the timing, because I don't think the question is whether or not the broad group of stakeholders will be participatory in this function, but rather when is the most appropriate time for them to be participatory with us. So I think the concept is it is best for stakeholders to work through the operational communities in the creation of the operational proposals, but when you get to the second step, which is the creation of a proposal from the operational proposals, then the broader group of stakeholders can also directly input to us. So I don't think it's an attempt to say the input shouldn't come, but it's perhaps an attempt to channel the input so that there is the least duplication and redundancy while still creating an opportunity for everyone to comment.
Jean-Jacques, this is Russ Mundy. I'd like to add a little bit more to that if I could. And that is the 14 March memo from NTIA basically directs that we must have input from the operational communities. In other words, we cannot be responsive to their requests that we're handling without having the input from the operators of the Internet. The broader community, clearly, there is a need, a desire, a strong will to incorporate those things, but to be responsive to the 14 March letter, it's not an absolute essential that we have to have that input, and it's not, the other input is not really essential to keeping the Internet operating, which was one of their security and stability concerns. And so I think the differentiation in terms of having to have this input from the operators and wanting to have the input from others is also a factor here.
Hello, this is Jean-Jacques. I'd like to answer to both Joe and to Russ, and thank you both for your clarifications. To both, I would say that you're right. I understand that the NTIA requires, that's quite logical, the compulsory input of the operational communities. But that does not in any way foreclude or exclude the contribution of the other participants to the coordination group. Otherwise, as I said earlier, why include anyone but the operational community representatives in the ICG to begin with? There's an expression in French, I don't know the English equivalent, but the gist of it is who can do more can do less. So if the instructions from the NTIA is to have, in any case, to make sure that the contribution of the operational entities is there, that does not and should not foreclude the participation and the input of the others. So I think that, to make it simple and clear, I consider that the formulation, both in the introduction of this draft and further on in the rest of the text, is not fair to the spirit of inclusiveness, which seemed to have presided over the initial formation of the ICG. And I would like to see this corrected. Thank you.
So, Mr. Sanjat, this is Daniel. I don't quite follow you. We had a discussion in London quite clearly where we said we want proposals from the operational communities. We want anyone who has input specific to these to participate in those processes. And we do not want to be creative ourselves and generate texts or adjudicate between texts that we get from different places that deal with the same thing. And I see this quite clearly reflected in this request for proposals. Please note also quite specifically under Section 1 comments, it explains this also quite clearly that we're open, that how people should participate, and if they do not get anywhere in the specific communities, to come back to us. And I think this reflects what we had agreed in London. I quite frankly don't see your problem, and if you have one, then I would suggest or would ask that you propose specific changes to the language that's before us.
Hello, Daniel. This is Jean-Jacques. Thank you for that suggestion. It will be taken up, but I cannot do this within the hour. It takes a bit more time than that. But to your point about what was agreed in London, of course, the tables of the law were set in London, as it were, but unfortunately we were not all up to the same speed. To be more specific, I was not up to the same speed as you, Daniel, for instance. So I recognize that, and there have been discussions in between. And since then, with each of our communities, and in my case, I feel that there is a degree of discomfort with the thing as it appears now, which makes too harsh a difference between the, I quote, proposals from the operational communities, and on the other hand, the input of the broad group of communities affected, etc. Thank you.
Well, this is Milton Mueller. I'm having trouble understanding what Jean-Jacques is talking about in terms of his objection, because we've discussed this issue at great length. It's been the main issue for the past 2 weeks in the development of the RFP. And we have come up with language that squarely addresses it. Let me just, I mean, I'm wondering whether you're actually referring to the document we're working on. We're talking about the RFP, right? So we're asking for complete formal responses from the operational communities, which we then define. That then it says in the next paragraph, proposals are expected to enjoy a broad consensus of support from all interested parties. During the development of their proposals, the operational communities are requested Actually, I propose putting the word required in there, but we have requested, which is strong enough, to consult and work with other affected parties. Likewise, in order to help the ICG maintain its like coordination role, all other parties are strongly encouraged to participate in community processes. Communities are asked to adhere to open and inclusive processes in developing the responses. So what exactly is missing here, Jean-Jacques? I don't get it.
Bien, donc je vais parler en français en réponse à Milton Mueller. Mon niveau d'anglais est tellement mauvais que je n'arrive évidemment pas à me faire comprendre. Donc je vais utiliser ma langue puisque l'interprète de français en anglais est disponible. Je me réfère effectivement, Milton, à la version qui est visible sur notre écran, le document intitulé Version 14. Donc, sur ce document, il est bien introduction petite 1A. Soliciting proposals from the operational communities. Et petit 1b, soliciting the input of the board group of communities, etc. Ainsi que plus loin. Donc, Milton, comme tu le sais, j'ai travaillé avec toi dans le
passé. Jean-Jacques, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are having difficulty hearing you. I think Alice is saying that you need to join the French line if you wish to speak French. It's sort of, so to us, it sounds like you and the interpreter are speaking on top of each other, and
okay.
I don't think many of us are actually catching it.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Alicia. This is Jean-Jacques. No problem. So I was saying that as my English is so lousy, I was using French through the interpreter, but because of the technical problem and because I am currently on the English line, as it were, I will have to go on with my very poor English. So, Milton, I got your message, and I think I understood it. My response is that since London, things have evolved, and there has been a clearer awareness on the part of various communities, including the one I represent, in the implications of all this. So, yes, if it pleases you to point out that there was a lack of total understanding on my part in London, I'm willing to agree to that. Now, as one of the two representatives of the ALAC, I want to make clear, and this is not alone, I'm doing this in consultation with the chair of the ALAC and others, that this is not satisfactory. Now, if you require an immediate reply with an immediate drafting proposal in the next 5 minutes, I'm afraid I cannot do that. So we will come back to you as soon as possible with proposed language. But I did want to register and have noted here on the scribing of this call that we consider this is not satisfactory. Thank you.
Jean-Jacques. So this is Alyssa. I just have a follow-up question for you, Jean-Jacques, which is that the language in the first paragraph of the introduction here, the four bullet points that are numbered, comes directly from the charter, and it's a direct quote. So, and we had, you know, several weeks of comment on the charter, and ALAC submitted comments and then withdrew comments. So I'm just curious about if you could sort of speak to that, is it acceptable in a charter and you just don't like to quote here? Because it's quite obvious, I think, that ALAC spent a good deal of time, you know, considering the charter, and that's right where this language comes from. So I guess my question is it the problem seems to be that porting this language into the RFP is where the problem is created, or is the problem created in the language itself? Because personally, I'm sort of considering the charter to be done. We had the week of of open comment since the last time. Everyone seemed happy with it last time, and it seemed pretty much finalized, and I think we're going to try to push that out this week. So,
Alice, if I may make, and this is Yari Arco, by the way, I may make an observation and a suggestion for Jean-Jacques and others. The RFP that we are discussing is really the document that goes, or the request that goes to the operational community saying, hey guys, we need you to do something. And I think that's actually a little bit of the disconnect here, because Jean-Jacques is trying to tell the other communities and the rest of the world as well, hey, this is important and you should also care and your opinion will also be heard, which I think we all agree with. But it's kind of appearing in the wrong place if it goes into this document. I wonder if it would be worthwhile to, maybe Jean-Jacques or someone else could craft a document that sends a message to the others, ALEC and governments and so forth, and highlighting their need to be involved in this process and pointing them to the ways to be involved in the process and telling them that this is important and then their opinion will matter, particularly in the, of course, in the community phases. Maybe that one might be a way of resolving this discussion.
This is Joe Aladeff. If I could follow up on that, as those of you who've been involved in the conversation on this document know, I've been posting comments on exactly this topic for 2 weeks, and this is the kind of solution we came up with because it was the general consensus that the non-operational communities are not creating formal positions. And so we want to channel their input into formal positions into the operational community. I think perhaps what isn't clear, because we don't know the exact process ourselves, is that when we as the ICG are then collating those proposals, we will open that up to a broad stakeholder conversation that is not limited to the operational community. And I would differ from Russ's opinion that while the NTIA may have said that only the operational communities are need to have, I think we have collectively come to the conclusion that the broad stakeholder consultation is needed. So I think there will be that opportunity. So Jean-Jacques, you have a two-stage process. In stage one, the formal proposals are not open because there is a process to participate in the formal proposals, which isn't outlined yet because each of the groups has to set up their own process. Once the formal proposals are in, then we will have direct stakeholder input into our process. I'm not sure if that clarification gives you any comfort and if some language clarifying that process would be sufficient for you.
Thank you, Joe. That's an interesting proposal. Whilst you are speaking and in already preparing my answer to the previous speaker before you, I was looking again at the text, and what is rather jarring is to see that as it stands, the text says that this task consists of small a, soliciting proposals from the operational communities, and small b, soliciting the input of a broad group of communities affected by the ICANN, the INA functions. You see, here, why not put, but this is simply at this stage a private proposal, to put that the task will consist of soliciting input from small a, the operational communities, small b, the broad group of communities, etc., and then putting further along, a bit further away, an additional line explaining that all this input will be vetted or sorted out or something in the preparation of the proposal. That, I think, would be closer to the spirit of collegial responsibility with which our coordination group is entrusted. Otherwise, it creates right away a very clear distinction of, on the one hand, the operational communities which have a certain set of responsibilities and the others who don't have those responsibilities. And that's not at all the way we in the at-large community view the task and the composition of the ICG. So, again, I'm not in a position to prepare to propose within the next few minutes a really well-thought-out alternative, but that will be done. I simply wanted to give you the spirit in which we find this difficult to accept. And just as a starter, I have just given you an indication of one possible solution, which is to change the wording just a little bit so that the proposal would appear to come from all the interested communities, which all represent in the ICG, and make it clearer, on the other hand, that there will be two steps but at the same level of responsibility. Thank you.
So this is Alyssa. I think, you know, we've spent half the call on this topic, and we have a few other topics that we'd like to get to. So for me, what's important at this point, I think, is to understand what the path forward is. And one thing that I think is very important that I maybe, you know, is not gating on this conversation is, assuming that we get through the other issues that we have to discuss this morning, if there are any objections to, at the very least, publishing what we finalized today so that the operational communities can begin the work of formulating proposals, because I know that some of them are very ready to do so and extremely anxious for to have something of a stable draft here so that they can work based on that draft and have that be published even while we are sorting out this issue. And I might ask for perhaps Jean-Jacques and Joe and Yari, who have all, I think, made good suggestions and had good input here to try and take this issue offline and sort out a solution that is amenable to the group.
This is Milton, so I would actually, I don't think it is a good idea to publish this as if it were the actual RFP and then keep tinkering with it. And I don't think that, you know, it shouldn't take us more than a week to work this out, so I don't think that the impatience of the protocol community is really going to justify that kind of a hiccup in the procedure. It seems to me that we could address this in a very simple way. As I understand it, frankly, I think most of the material and the openness that Jean-Jacques is asking for is already in there. However, the difference might be that we treat the operational communities as the conveners of the process rather than limiting the idea that they are the only proposers, and that the proposals come out of the process that these operational communities convene. Obviously, any proposal that comes out of those would have to have the consensus and agreement of the key figures in the operational community, but you know, in some ways, if we say that the proposal comes from the operational communities per se and not from the broader group that we're asking them to consult with and work with and get consensus from, then, you know, I think that is just a language difference that we could clear up very quickly.
Hello, this is Jean-Jacques. Alyssa and Milton, I'd like to reply to both your inputs. By saying this, thank you, Alyssa. I think it's a good idea to convene by email or some other method, perhaps by Skype, the people you mentioned, certainly Joe, Yari, myself, and others interested. We won't wait a week. It will be done over the next 2 days to come up with a formulation which is more acceptable to the at-large community. Now, in response to Milton's remark about the idea of convener as opposed to some other term, I think it's interesting, but on the other hand, it could be misleading in that here again, making the operational communities as the only conveners seems there again to introduce a sort of inequality between those operational communities and the rest of the ICG, which is precisely one of the points which triggered my reaction in the first place on behalf of the at-large community. So setting that aside, Milton, because that's a more abstract notion, I think, I would go along with Alisa's suggestion and within the next 2 days send to this list a proposal on behalf of the ALAC. Thank you.
Well, Jean-Jacques, the distinction, this is Milton Mueller again, the distinction between the customers or operational communities of IANA and the other people who are only indirectly affected by IANA through these operational communities is built into the charter, and it's something we've already agreed on. So if you're rejecting that, that distinction, I think you're kind of out, you know, off the charter, and you're making it basically impossible for us to agree, because that distinction is vital to what we're doing. I think it's completely invalid to suggest that, let's say, a random internet user, which I might consider myself, has the same kind of relationship to the IANA functions as a TLD registry who has to possibly weekly update their data in the root zone. I just think that's just wrong, and it's not an invidious distinction, it's a factual distinction.
Okay, this is Melissa. Thank you, Milton.
We need to
move on, I'm sorry. So I'd ask the small subgroup of...
I just want to respond to that very quickly.
I'm sorry,
Alisa.
We really...
Just to say, I agree with Milton on this...
Already. So we need to move on. I'm sorry.
Well, I suggest we spend another 30 seconds. Hello, Alisa. Alisa, I'm sorry, I must insist. This is just to say that I'm not invalidating Milton's point. It's a question of wording. That'll be part of our task in the next few days.
Okay, thank you. So one thing I think is important is that, you have said, Jean-Jacques, that you will have text in 2 days. So what we need is agreement from the group, not just agreement from the ALAC. So what I'd like is for the subgroup to go off and try to find some resolution to this issue. And in the meantime, I do think that if we can say that the substance of this document, which starts in the second section and not in the first one, seems fairly stable, then I think we can get to a happy place where all the communities can proceed with their work, whether this issue gets resolved this week or not. There are some other people who had substantive issues. I think Daniel was one of them. I have one. So, Daniel, would you like to proceed with your topic?
Sure. I'm not a diplomat, but I will start again with thanking Paul for the work he's done, and of course all the people who commented. I think it's the substance of the document, as you just referred to it, I think it's quite solid. There's one thing that occurred to me when I read it again this morning, and that is that currently the IANA supports a number of operational communities, and they're in fact asking for input in the form of proposals from those communities which we have identified. But shouldn't we also ask in the RFP that the communities spend some time telling us in the proposal whether they consider it still desirable to have an IANA or have one entity, let's put it that way, that serves those different communities, or whether it would be acceptable to them to have different entities actually doing the work in whatever configuration. I hope that was clear. And yes, I can propose text towards this if there's no immediate total opposition to this.
It would be certainly useful.
Please say your name.
Sorry, Joseph Aladef. It would certainly be useful to see proposed text on this, but I would suggest that one of the things that some of the user communities would always be concerned about was the more change we introduce into a process at this stage, the more complexity and the greater potential for issues to arise. So we would treat significant changes to operational functionality in a way that would be very cautious and would need to be validated and tested substantially. So that would just be a reservation I would put out there. It's, I guess, different than an objection, but it would be a very high concern.
This is Alyssa. Daniel, I'm wondering if that consideration is something that may come after the proposal, the separate proposal components are in, have been submitted, and whether we see if any such changes are being proposed. And then that's a topic that the world will have to grapple with and take up, as opposed to having to kind of presage that whether the communities are proposing anything along those lines or not.
Now, don't get me wrong. Both to just Daniel again to respond to both those things. Don't get me wrong. My intention is not to suggest proposals for splitting the IANA. My intention is to get the communities to consider this consciously, and when and if we get to the point where this comes to the table, at least they have considered it, and we also have some input on it as the ICG. So this is not, and I totally agree with what Joseph said about operational continuity and all that, but still it would be useful to have information about this and not to have another round if that seems to be opportune. To go and ask this question again and run through the whole consultation process again, which costs a lot of time. So the intention would be to instigate some premeditation from the community, and also to get information about that, what the communities think about this.
Daniel, I'm trying to this is Russ Housley. I'm trying to figure out how this would impact a proposal if a particular community has a solution that they're putting forward for the transition that does not involve any kind of splitting, then how would they say it? It leads to kind of we want your opinion on this thing, but it may not impact the proposal you're providing. And yet, if the proposal comes forward that does involve splitting, it'll be very obvious what that community thinks.
This is Russ Mundy. Also, I think it's good to at least think about it. I'm not sure that the RFP is the right place to think about it, but if there are a set of words that go in there, perhaps the phrasing could be along the line, if the community desires some type of separation or splitting, would they undertake to coordinate with the other two major operational communities as to how it might impact them. Would that be a way to include or address such an aspect as this? In other words, ask the communities to work together before the things actually reach the ICG.
Yeah. Russ, I think just to wrap this up in the interest of time, since we already formed a subgroup to do some more work on this, let me take it upon myself to propose some language, you know, considering the input that I just got from the four of you. And I'll do that within the next 2 or 3 days, and then we can discuss it on the mailing list. Is that acceptable?
I think that would be good.
Okay, this is Alyssa.
Any more?
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just asking since there was silence. Any more comments on the subject? If not, then I'm done.
Okay, thank you. This is Alyssa. So I wanted us to talk for a minute about the comments that we got from Elise Garrick concerning the use of the term service relationship with IANA. And I can bring the email up on the screen if people think that would be helpful. Maybe I'll try to do that. I don't think I can actually do that. But hopefully people saw this email. So what Elise was saying is that, we have this phrase at the beginning of the, and several places in the document where we talk about those with direct operational or service relationships with IANA. And her comment was that no group actually has a service relationship with IANA, because the service relationships are with ICANN as the IANA functions operator. And so she was offering to make edits to that phrase. I saw a response on the list, or I saw one response, I think, which was from Patrick, which I think I broadly agreed with, which was that we are, I think, talking here about IANA in the sense of the authority as opposed to IANA in the sense of the Department of ICANN. Thank you very much, Elise, for pulling up Elise's email on the screen, and now everybody can see it. So, of course, anybody should speak to this. Patrick, I would be interested in hearing you sort of reprise your response to Elise, but I wanted us to at least discuss this. Elise is unfortunately not on the call. Personally, I think that this text, again, which comes from the charter, is accurate if we think about IANA as the authority and not the subdivision of a corporate entity. So I'm comfortable with the way that we have the text now, but wanted to make sure that we have consensus on that, because Elise made this point a couple times and we didn't really get to discuss it on the mailing list.
This is Milton. Is Patrick there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, go ahead then.
Yeah, so what I wanted to have clarified is that we all understand what we mean by the term IANA, first of all, and then we can discuss whether we believe that the current text is according to that agreement or not, and whether something has to do with it, something has to be changed. I felt that that moving ahead and starting to add this, to just change the text might be a little bit dangerous if it was not the case that we first of all just agreed what it is. That was my point.
Okay, this is Milton. I also answered, although very recently, so Alyssa didn't probably see it, but I really don't understand the point of Alyssa's statement, because the NTIA currently awards the IANA contract to ICANN. That's the only reason no one has the people have service relationships with ICANN. And since the NTIA and the IANA contract are ending, and that's the whole point of this process, I think we have to treat the IANA as a separate entity in the sense defined by Patrick's definition. So I don't think, I agree that we don't need to change anything in the RFP based on Elise's comments.
Yeah, and this is Lynn Sainamore as well. I think there's a strong analogy between the IETF and the Internet Society, where obviously the Internet Society is the legal home and the contractual home for many things that the IETF does. and yet we never made, or they never made, that distinction. I mean, the IETF was its own entity with its own set of procedures and responsibilities and its own commitments. And, you know, we never, either from IETF or Internet Society side, tried to put the contractual relationship first and foremost. It was always the responsibilities of the organizations involved. I think that analogy actually holds here as well.
This is Russ Mundy. I guess I'd like to take slight disagreement with what Milton said, and just in as much as the reason, at least what I understood is that he was saying the only reason that organizations have a relationship with ICANN is because of the NTIA contract. I think that's not an accurate depiction of things, because especially some of the relationships have existed for a long time with the IANA, and it just happened to migrate over time to being in ICANN. But less important than that, I believe, is that we have a way to clearly define the understanding that Patrick, I think, put forth in response to Elise's email, and the function that is being described really is the IANA function that currently just, you know, it's been there for a long time, but it just kind of happens to be at the ICANN corporate entity. Somehow we have to make sure that that is well described and easily understood by the broad community. Otherwise, I think the risks exist that Elise points out here.
Hi there, it's Keith Davidson. I'm a bit concerned with Milton's worry over this. Having chaired a working group that has looked at aspects of what IANA is doing, I think we need to be very, very explicit about what we mean when we use the word IANA. And I think things like referring to the IANA database or the IANA function or the IANA functions operator can actually provide clarity over what it is that we're describing, whether it's the entity or the function or the actual database itself. So I think if we are more explicit, we'll avoid confusion later.
Yeah, this is Milton. I don't think either Russ or Keith are actually disagreeing with me. My point is simply that if the import of Elise's comment was that we should go in and replace the word customers of IANA with customers of ICANN, I think that's not what we want to do. We're talking about the IANA functions operator, and that is going to be considered distinctly from ICANN because, it's the NTIA contract, which awards it to ICANN, is going away. And so that's precisely what we're discussing here in trying to come up with a transition plan for is, you know, what happens to this IANA functions operator? We have to discuss IANA in a manner that does not presume that it is linked to ICANN or that there is an NTIA that writes the contract and gives it to ICANN. That's all I'm saying.
It's Keith Davidson again, and thanks, Milton, for that clarification. Now I understand and fully support. Cheers.
So this is Alyssa. I had asked Alice. Alice is working on bringing up Patrick's response to this email in the window so we can see it. I'm wondering if maybe we should just reference the sort of definition of IANA that is provided in the SAC document, which is again is sort of the broad definition, goes beyond just the single contract with NTIA and kind of looks at all the different arrangements that are involved. And, you know, we could footnote that, and so everyone knows when we're talking about IANA in this document, we're talking about it in the large and not in the small. Let's see. There it is. So we could just reference that, you know, in a footnote or something, so that it's clear the first time we use IANA what we mean.
And this is Patrick. Let me just let people know that it's not difficult to find this in SAC 67 in our document from SAC because it's actually the beginning of section 1 of the document. So this is how the document starts.
I have to, this is Russ Mundy, I have to admit to a slightly prejudiced view, but I think that that SAC document, speaking as an SAC rep, does provide a good clarification and would be a good solution to this where we wouldn't have to change any significant wording in the RFP.
Any objections to adding this definition of IANA to the document?
This is Daniel. We can use this, of course. I'm just wondering whether it would be preferable to refer to actually the NTIA announcement and documentation rather than to a derivative. So since we're generating proposals to answer that, if we can spend 10 minutes and find anything there, then I prefer it. If not, then this works.
Thank you. Just volunteered 10 minutes.
Yeah, this is Patrick Feldstrom. Let me just say, Patrick Feldstrom speaking as the chair of SAC, let me just say that this document is created by SAC in isolation, which means that I think referencing sort of the whole document, I presume, is not what we're talking about because I find that might be a little bit dangerous. But referencing the document for this specific definition, which means these paragraphs that I just quoted, I think is something that I feel comfortable with.
I'd rather extract these, Patrick, than reference a piece of a document that has a completely different context, right?
Yeah.
This is Alyssa. To be clear, I guess what I was thinking was that this text that we see would actually appear in the footnote in the RFP, and then there would be a link to the SAC document so we knew where it came from.
That's fine with me.
It's Martin Boyle here. I feel a little bit uncertain about this in that while I find the definition as written here very useful, when I look at the NTIA announcement, it does then specifically use the term of the IANA functions contractor. Having been on the same committee that Keith Davidson mentioned, I do have this sort of general feeling that if we just spell out with one or two extra words what it is that we're specifically referring to, and I think it's quite easy through this text because Keith's terms were IANA database, the IANA functions, and the IANA functions operator. And in an awful lot of these cases, we're actually talking about the management of the IANA functions by the IANA functions operator. So I just would feel a little bit more comfortable with that.
This is Alyssa. So just so I understand, the idea here from Martin and Keith is that we would go through each instance where we use the term IANA in the document and determine whether we need to add functions or functions operator. Is that the proposal?
Martin Boyle here. That's what I understood Keith to say, and that's what I was supporting.
And that be in addition to referencing this definition or in lieu of, just to be clear.
Could you say that again, Alyssa?
Sure. The question was, would going through and adding the word functions or functions operator be in addition to also referencing this as a general definition in the first page of the document or in lieu of making that reference?
If people Sorry, Martin Boyle. If people find...
Sounds like we lost Martin's audio. Okay, so I think maybe what makes sense is it sounds like we have a strong consensus to add a reference to this to the document. So that's one action item. I think if Keith and Martin want to go through and identify where they think the language isn't clear about IANA and maybe send notes about those to the mailing list, then we can sort that out on the list. Shouldn't be too difficult. So I think those are the two next steps there. Otherwise, we are coming up on the hour. I will note one thing. Is there anyone else who had a substantive issue that they wanted to bring up in the last 60 seconds? Okay. So I will note one thing, which is that we didn't actually discuss the substance of this document, which I assume means that we are pretty well agreed on the substance, which I think is fantastic. We have, I think, a plan for going forward and progressing on the various issues that were brought up today. I would say that, again, feeling the pressure from my own operational community, if people are feeling good about the substance, that we should, unless people object, I would like to share the substance, at least with the IETF community, so that people know roughly the direction that this is going in. And hope that we can finalize a draft by the end of this week. Any objections to that?
Well, I think we're all consulting our own communities, so how is that different?
Oh, that's true. We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about public comments. And yeah, so I know we're at the hour. Let's spend 1 minute on that. So I think the place that we got to on the mailing list as far as are we going to solicit public comments on the RFP itself, was that rather than, sort of doing the big call for comment that we did with the charter and using the email alias in the forum, that we were each just going to take the document back to our own communities for consultation and, give a week or two and see if there's any, edits that come back from the community consultations and incorporate those if necessary after the IGF. Does that sound like a reasonable plan to people? Do people feel like, whatever text we have in a 24 hours from now after this has been sorted out and, the language about the IANA functions, do people feel that text is stable enough to go and take it out to their communities?
Lisa Russman here. I think that it should be available right now. All of these things are in Dropbox that's public, and so perhaps just a status report from the various representatives to the communities saying, here's where we are, please look at it there. They can see exactly where we are right now, and they can see the changes as they happen. Don't have to formally say, here's a draft. They can watch it as it goes along.
I guess I was asking because not everyone is paying attention to every edit in the Dropbox, and so sometimes it is helpful to send an email and say, hey, go over here and look at this thing if you're interested.
Personally, I don't have any problem.
I think that should be fine.
But I don't know that it's explicitly necessary, but I wouldn't object. Russman, sorry.
This is Daniel. Can I have a clarification? At some point we publish this and it becomes fixed, and then the communities can work to that. Of course, before you can share drafts or as we've always done, but my impression was that we were to finish this and publish it as our RFP at our next meeting in Istanbul, and then if the communities then come back with comments, then we can publish. We can decide to publish clarifications to it. I mean, that's what you usually do with RFPs, right? I think I was assuming that that was the modus operandi here.
This is Alyssa. I thought we were trying to publish it before the IGF. That's what we talked about last week.
That was the whole reason for having this call. was to achieve that.
Right. Yes.
Feel we've been torpedoed on that goal.
Oh, yes.
Right. Well, it may still be achievable. It's only Tuesday, right? So I guess that's kind of why I was asking if people feel that this is like roughly stable enough that that they can at least we can sort of proceed with the further edits that we need to make based on today's call in parallel with ICG participants going out to their own communities and saying, this is a fairly stable draft and we want to get your feedback on it.
Well, this is Milton, and we already were asked to send it around to get feedback, and I've been doing that. I've had no objections, by the way. And what I'm concerned about is the wording changes that we're now talking about go to very core issues. You know, what is IANA, what is its relationship to ICANN, and what is an operational community, and where do the proposals come from? And I think those issues can be fixed in a couple of days, but I would not feel comfortable with sending a draft around that might change those fundamental definitions. You know, I'm as impatient. I want to get this out there as anybody else. It's just if we're fiddling with who turns in proposals, I think that's pretty fundamental. And we don't want, and if we can just avoid any confusion by waiting 2 days before we circulate it, then we should do that.
I have no problems with any of us circulating this or any other version indicating the correct stage of it, whether it's in progress or fixed or final. And I think we all know the status. The one additional comment that I would like to make based on what Milton just said was that I think there's two separate things. The definition of IANA, I think that's a definitional issue and had no substantive effect. I'm happy with the suggestions. I'd be happy with the document even as is. The other one about where proposals come and so forth, I would actually propose that that's a closed issue that we have already discussed since the beginning of the ICG at length and come to a conclusion in the charter and elsewhere. And we should recognize that it might be possible that that we already have rough consensus on that, even if perhaps not full consensus of everyone, but I think we should move on.
Well, I agree with you substantively, Yari, that we did discuss this. I thought we had completely resolved it, and I thought that Jean-Jacques was indicating that his concerns could be assuaged with a few wording changes, and so if that's true, then let's make those wording changes in a couple of days or even one day before we release anything and call it an RFP. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I'd like to support Milton's
Hello?
Yes.
If I can quickly respond to this first, which is I think we should make wording changes if those can satisfy the concerns that Jean-Jacques raised. I just don't know.
This is Jean-Jacques. I'd like to respond to both Milton and Yari and say thank you for the suggestion within the next 2 days, Ben. Thank you.
This is Daniel again. I have a strong objection against trying to finalize this on the fly with wording changes that are maybe substantive 1.5 weeks before we have a physical meeting. And the RFP is going to largely determine what we are getting back and what kind of problems we have with the quality of what comes back. I think it makes, since we have a physical meeting in less than 2 weeks' time, I think we should take the time to finalize this at the physical meeting. If we do our work beforehand, and it will be a no-brainer, fine. But let's not wing this while, which is the RFP is the most important document that we're producing, short of the proposal. So I have an objection against doing this on the fly.
So
hello, Daniel. This is Azad. I have a question. Is doing this on the fly mean? Sorry, my English is very poor. I don't understand whether doing this on the fly excludes what I suggested and what others have suggested, meaning give us 2 days to bring our input more up to date. Thank you.
No, it's basically finalizing the document. You know, when the sooner we get the input, the better.
Yep,
so
that I agree. So give us 2 days.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I think, I mean, characterizing this as doing it on the fly, I think, is a little bit of a stretch because we've been working on this thing for many weeks, and a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into this. What I'm seeing both on the call and in the chat room is a very strong desire to get this published before the IGS, as we discussed last time. So, you know, I think you might be a little bit in the rough on this particular issue. What I would suggest is that we I think, as Yare and others said, we make a very strong effort in the next 2 days to get to a point where everyone is comfortable with, you know, publishing the document. You know, perhaps it has a version number or it says draft, but we publish the document as a stable reference. And if we need to make tweaks, we will certainly be continuing to collect community feedback about the document itself. We can make tweaks as we go along. I think on the substance of the document is pretty stable. We have a couple of outstanding issues that, you know, could be substantial or could not be, depending on how they get addressed. And I think people should keep that in mind, that, you know, we had a fairly strong consensus to get something stable published before the IGF. So keep that in mind when you are making your suggestions to the list. What can we actually resolve before Thursday? And on Thursday, we'll see what we have and hope that we can get something out on that day or on Friday, when I guess some people might be traveling and so forth. But, you know, make a very strong effort in the group to get it done by the end of this week. That's what I would suggest. I think we have fairly broad support in the group for that, although
Alyssa, this is Joel. I just wanted to say that I posted a draft of what might be compromised text to the list to see if perhaps we can jumpstart a solution. And on a related note, I posted to the list earlier this morning some proposed what might be consensus talking point slides for IGF. So reactions to both would be welcome.
Thank you, Joe. So we are now, you know, fairly 10 minutes over the call. We should probably let everyone go, let the interpreters go. But if people are fairly comfortable with that plan, try to get something out by Thursday and make a strong effort over the next 2 days, and we'll see where we are on Thursday. I think that's a reasonable plan. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for your time today. Alice will, again, send out the attendance list. So check that and make sure that your name appears in the appropriate category. And we had Samantha on again taking minutes, and she will be publishing minutes for us to the mailing list. So look for those as well. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye.